Welcome to PASIG Practice Pearls, where performing arts physical therapists share their expertise and discuss some of the unique needs of keeping artists healthy.
Hello, my name is Dr. Marissa Schaefer, and I will be your host for this episode of the PASIG podcast, and I'll be talking to Dr. Laura A. Schmidt about all things emergency medical response. Laura has an incredible wealth of knowledge about this particular topic as she's dedicated many years to studying and teaching emergency medical response. So we'll get a great lay of the land from her regarding emergency action plans, primary and secondary assessments, and many other things to consider in the event of an emergency. Laura A. Schmidt retired from the University of Delaware in 2020, where she was a clinician and course coordinator for both their in-house integrated clinical experiences, sports orthopedic and neurologic older adult. She received her bachelor's degree in health and physical education with a concentration in athletic training from Westchester University in 1988, her MSPT from Beaver College, Arcadia University in 1991, and her DPT from Temple University in 2003. Dr. Schmidt is recognized as both a board-certified sports physical therapist and an orthopedic physical therapist by the American Board of Physical Therapy Specialists. She has been certified as a certified athletic trainer since 1988. Her clinical interests are in the areas of sports and orthopedic physical therapy. She's also been an instructor for the American Red Cross for Basic Life Support and Emergency Medical Response since 2002, and an instructor for Cogent Steps for Emergency Response for the Athlete since 2015. She has taught a wide breadth of individuals, including DPT students, PTs seeking SCS certification or recertification, and members of the Performing Arts Special Interest Group. She was the secretary and the chair of the EMR-SIG through AASPT, and she is currently the practice committee lead under the specialization SIG of AASPT. Welcome, Laura, and I hope you all enjoy. Hi, Laura, and welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Marissa. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So we, as you know, are going to be talking about emergency medical response today, and you are quite seasoned at teaching this subject, so I'm really glad you're here to help us understand kind of the lay of the land is what's going on today. So let's jump right in by having you explain to us who the emergency responder is, and as a PT emergency responder, what is our role?
Yeah, so an emergency responder is basically the first person that shows up on a scene, or in the case of PT, that's there covering a venue. First thing first is scene safety. And you want to make sure that you're safe to go in or to proceed. And also then you want to take care of the bystanders and the other people that, and the victim itself or the person or the performing artist or the athlete or whomever it was that was involved in the situation. You want to determine if there's any life-threatening things that are happening, conditions that need immediate care. So that's like your ABCs, is the airway open? Are they breathing? Do they have a pulse? Is there any severe bleeding? And then you want to summon advanced care if needed. I mean, not every emergency needs first, 911 to be called, but you have to make those decisions. And then you want to provide immediate care for whatever the situation might be. And then once, EMTs get there, how can you assist them? Or is there anything that you can do? Because if you can expedite that transfer over, that's going to only help the person get the care that they need in a timely fashion. And there's other things, those secondary responsibilities. If you're a second person that arrives, you want to help that first person.
Right.
Has 911 been called? Did they get an AED if they need it? If there's a crowd or a group of bystanders, can you assist with getting them back and out of the way? And then if you can be the, note taker, if the primary person is doing vitals, can you just jot them down? Can you, if you start to have their sample history, which is just a mnemonic that we use to help remind us of what the sample history is. But if they tell you about allergies or medications, if you can jot them down and pass them over to the EMTs when they get there, again, it's going to help expedite. And if there's a family member and you can help be the comforter or friend there, you know, that can just be a help too, because you don't want a second person going down because of the difficulty of what happened.
So that's like, I mean, that kind of sets the stage nicely and also like highlights the fact that every person in the room is a team player and is part of the emergency, which like, you know, gets me thinking about some of the situations I've been in, like when emergency happens, right? Kind of chaos can ensue. So it's important to have a plan in place. So I'm wondering if you can talk to us about incident management and command and also creating EAPs, stuff like that.
So an EAP is an emergency action plan. Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely right. Anytime a situation happens, there's going to be a degree or a level of chaos that happens. And it's really interesting how much you have reviewed it in your head. If you've played the what if game, you know, what if this motorcycle that's ahead of me, they seem to swerve out of way and they ditch it, you know, what if this, what if that, and you review those things in your head. But anyway, basically an EAP is a way that you create a comprehensive, but yet at the same time, very flexible enough to handle any circumstance. So it's an outline of what is going to be done and designed to ensure that appropriate care is provided in a very timely manner. And it's important that EAPs are reviewed and updated in a yearly basis. And there's resources online that can assist you with having templates to help guide you with creating EAPs. From a performing artist standpoint, it's one thing if your particular venue, you would be in charge of being a part of that to create that document. But if you're traveling, you want to ask when you get there, you know, do you have an EAP that I could review so that I could see, you know, what is included?
Right. And to be clear, like an emergency action plan, it's like an instructions list, right? The person goes down, like, this is what we're going to consider in terms of the stage, in terms of the costuming, in terms of where the EMT would come in and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly. I mean, basically there's several components that you want to cover within an EAP. So the emergency personnel and what their roles are, so that you define it and it's in writing. And if there's any communication that you need. So for instance, if it's walkie-talkies are available backstage, or you're using your cell phone, do you have self-service? Do you have, you know, all of those? What's going to be the number that you're going to call? Like, is there somebody local that you go to, or do you just go through 911? And if there's any specific information or directions that the venue requires you to provide to the responders coming in, because that might be helpful. There may be about, you know, how does the ambulance need to even get there? Right. If you're in a major city, right? You know, or if you're not and it's a more scenic thing, does that back most direct route, does it have a gate that's locked? Mm-hmm. So in order for them to get there, you have to unlock the gate, you know, those kind of things. And then it also is going to list any kind of emergency communications that are available with what, like, are there different levels of hospitals for different, like, do you need a, do you have a level one trauma need, or is it any hospital will do? And then what are the estimated response times? You know, do you send somebody to welcome the ambulance there so that you can, again, thinking about expediting it. And as you mentioned, performing arts does have some unique requirements with it. You know, the space backstage is not really that much. Mm-hmm. So now if you've got to get a stretcher back there, how are you going to manage that? What's that going to entail? The costumes, does that need any specific other additional equipment or tools to remove it? You know, and so knowing those things is very important. And also, let's face it, live performances, the show must go on, right? And how do you make those decisions? So the EAP does a nice job of kind of laying out the map, if you will. I mean, and literally, usually includes a map, mm-hmm, with usually GPS location to facilitate finding where you need to be.
Right. Absolutely. And something that I was just thinking about, because we bring it up with Don Mucci in our other episode about emergency medical response, is audience management. And then also considering, you know, props that we may be working with or traveling with, and, you know, who's operating those and all that kind of stuff. You know, things that you wouldn't necessarily think about if you're working with a sports team. You keep bringing up communication. So I'm wondering if you can kind of like unpack, you know, command and who's leading EAPs and all that kind of stuff.
And usually there, it's a, you know, the person who is in charge of the logistics at a particular venue mm-hmm. is going to design the EAP, write it out, work with medical supervision so that then all players are, you know, players and participants are included in that. You want to practice that on a yearly basis so that, and review it, because maybe it's changed. Maybe, you know, easier access has been designed, or something has, you know, varied with it. And you know, those things are going to be very important. And communication, really, which is where I thought you were going to go with this, uh-huh. from a different standpoint of communication, just how one communicates effectively and very specifically to reduce the chaos is so super important. So, you know, if you have to do something, rather than ask, is everyone ready, that now I need to hear from you, and you, that I'm ready. If I just say, is anyone not ready? And I hear nothing, I'm ready to go. Again, it's just how you phrase your words to create that commanding communication style.
Yeah. And efficiency too, because if it's an emergency, right. It's an emergency.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. So we touched on this a little bit before, but obviously scene safety is incredibly important to establish.
That's
right?
Paramount. That's paramount.
So yes. Talk to us about what some things are that performing artists and performing arts PTs in specific need to consider.
I think, you know, what we usually think about is after you know the scene is safe, mm-hmm. you then got to decide what's going on.
Right.
So it's almost like going through this rapid Rolodex. So I need to know, do I have crisis or do I have something that I can deal with mm-hmm. and I don't need help? So that first general impression and trying to figure it out. So if you go out to somebody and they're talking to you, you're glad. You know they have a pulse, you know they're breathing, you know, and all. But normally that's what we call our primary assessment. Mm-hmm. So you want to know about their level of consciousness. Are they breathing? Do they have an airway open? Do they have a pulse? Or is there any severe bleeding? Like, that's your primary, those big life-threatening kind of problems. And then there's the secondary assessment. So that's after that, you know, they're at least alive mm-hmm. and I don't need to really, you know, worry about that. Now you want to see what's going on. Sure. Okay. And so usually what we do is we'll start with like a head to toe exam, because if somebody has fallen and they feel like their wrist is hurt, they may not even realize that they really whacked their knee too. Right. And that's sore. So before you even have them move, you basically go through this systematic approach of head to toe, where you're looking for tenderness, deformity, open areas, you know, all of those as you go through at the arms and then the abdomen and the quadrants and the leg, you know, you're going through all of it and just clearing everything to see if there's anything involved. And then usually at that point, you know what you have to deal with. Are you dealing with somebody's bleeding? Are you dealing with somebody with a potential fracture that you want to splint, or, you know, a sprain or something? And then usually what you want to think about is then you're going to be treating them to facilitate, whether or not that is they're going in the ambulance. Is it that serious? If it's, you know, they can be transported by car and a friend or the relative or something can take them, you know, those decisions you're making as you go along. But that's where, as before I mentioned, the sample history. As you're doing those things, that's a great time to talk to the person to gather some more insight, because if they do go unconscious, there's really critical things. So like, what are your signs and symptoms?
Right.
Do you have any allergies?
Right.
Do you take any medications? Any pertinent past medical history? When did you eat last? And any kind of events that led up to the incident.
Sure.
Because if the person goes unconscious and you can provide the EMTs with that information, that's very valuable for the emergency department doctor to know, that kind of aspect. And then you can take vitals to monitor them to see, is their status declining at all?
Right. And I think in the course that I took with you, I guess now it's like 2 years ago, which is crazy. But about 2 years ago, I think we had talked about keeping like a binder of all that pertinent information so that should someone go down, we can run and get the binder and say, this person is on this medication. Here's their significant past medical history so that, you know, we can have a swifter.
Yeah. And if you have that and it's part of your troop or your group of people that you're with, having access to that. I mean, we do that in the clinic too with our patient. If a patient has a medical event that we know we're going to send them to the hospital, we'll print that out while we're dealing with the emergent piece. And again, the faster you can get that turnover, the easier. And that's where if you don't have access to that and you're one of those additional helpers that show up, that's a great way that you can help by just finding some way of jotting that down to transfer that information, because the person that's actually providing care, they're dealing with a lot. They're managing, they're thinking, they're going like a mile a minute. So whatever you can do to take that away or help them is gonna really be a great asset.
Yeah, absolutely. So something else that came to mind, I had mentioned before, like audience management and the show must go on, right? So let's say someone goes down in the middle of the stage and you decide the show absolutely needs to go on and you need to move that person. Like, what are some of the things that you need to think about?
Oh, yeah. And I think that that's something that would be great. Like, as we were talking about with an EAP, I would be facilitating that what if part in my mind. Right. And so making sure that if there's someone that, Marissa, you're covering, you know, you're at the venue and you know you cannot move that person alone, you need to have a plan B to know who else is coming out with me, or how do I signal and let somebody know I need help. But usually it's basically what the person's size is and what is your ability or capability to move them. If they can help you and it's safe to do so, how can you do that? If the situation, I mean, it's a big difference if they've, you know, have an open tibial fracture versus I possibly may have sprained my wrist. Those are really two different entities for how you're going to take care of that. And then again, if there's any equipment that's available, do you have a wheelchair quickly accessible? Do you have a spine board that you could just move them without really doing it so quickly? Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah. Good things to consider. So, okay. Let's say, switching genres of performing arts here, you have a skater falls on the ice and you facilitated your EAP and you get them safely to the hospital. You're done, right? And no, the answer is no. That was rhetorical. So talk to us about the importance of documenting each emergency.
Yeah. So, you know, again, depending on, you know, you may have certain things within your group that require you, from a documentation standpoint, from, you know, who's covering you and who is who you're working for. Because a lot of, you know, professional performing artists too, that's, they're under workers' comp and all. So you may have like incident reports to submit or to do something like that. So you'll need to get familiar with what your particular provider requires. But in the case that, let's say nothing is really required, or you were at the show in the audience and now you're the first one there. So, I mean, it could go a lot of different ways, or you're just out at the grocery store and somebody goes down. I would strongly suggest that you think about, when everything is done, going home and just dumping all the facts, because as we all know, it's a very litigious society that we live in, unfortunately, but it's a fact. And with the statute of limitations being 7 years, I don't know about you or the listeners, but even before COVID, I couldn't remember last week a lot of the fine details.
Yeah.
Now with COVID, oh dear God, like that's just crazy.
Yeah.
But anyway, you could also think about just writing yourself an email and just writing it out. And that way it's timestamped.
Right.
And then you have it. If you ever need to put it in a folder that's, you know, you hope you never, ever have to go back and look at, but in the chance that you would, you'd have it. The other piece too is it also does another aspect of it, it provides you to just get it out of, you know, put the data down.
Yeah. Well, and just get it out of there too is somewhat therapeutic, which is, I think, something we haven't yet touched on today, is like being involved in an emergency, even if you're not the victim, can be quite traumatic. So I think, you know, the act of writing it down can in itself be therapeutic, but I'm wondering what else you recommend in terms of, you know, fostering your own mental health and wellness surrounding injuries, emergencies, pardon me.
Which is so important. I mean, certainly, you know, I hope, you know, in the event that somebody goes through something, I agree with you. It will be traumatic. It's not, you know, you'll find in the moment when you're providing care and all, and it's chaotic as can be, you keep it together.
Right.
You're able to provide that, you know, that, and that's the PT in us too, right? That we're going to rise in that situation. But, you know, I hope that people really think about reaching out to others, looking for that support, not feeling like it's a shame piece of it, but, you know, right. Going to the last question of it, you know, by writing it out, that is therapeutic because you're letting it work through you. And that's so, so important. But I guarantee you what we all will do is we will all question, did I do the right thing?
Right.
Did I do everything? And I can tell you 100%, it's not going to be perfect. But the biggest thing, and it might not even be pretty, it may be just like an ugly, chaotic thing. But in the end, if you save somebody's life, that's what's really important. It doesn't matter how it looked. But we all know we're a little type A, mm-hmm. we PTs. Mm-hmm. So we like to be perfect. But this is one of those situations that I think we have to remind ourselves to be kind and gentle.
Sure.
And, you know, even when you question yourself, like, gee, oh, I forgot to really call 911 early. You'll find that happens because there's a lot going on and a lot that you're managing. And, oh, but they got called, but it was like 20 seconds later. Okay. Like, that's the piece of it that you don't want to beat yourself up and really be tough, because it's not, you'll think about it next time because you lived through it once.
Right.
And that's part of that debriefing aspect of it, I feel.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you say debriefing aspect, do you mean like with yourself or with other people or with the team or?
It could be yes, yes, and yes. Okay. I mean, you know, ideally if you're around and you have a group of people that were involved, mm-hmm. like you have from your EAP, all of your healthcare providers, mm-hmm. I think after any major situation, bring the group together,
yeah.
and say, okay, guys, what did we do great? And what did we do that needs to improve? And there will be a long list of things that need to improve because that's just the way it goes because it's an emergency.
Right.
Nobody really completely worked through it. And you know, if that's the case, you know, it's really something that you have to take the pride in for doing the right thing. But then you learn some things and maybe you didn't even realize somebody else thought of something or saw something different.
Right.
And, you know, we had a situation when we first moved into a new building and we were only in there for like, you know, a couple weeks and the AEDs weren't even mounted on the walls yet. Mm-hmm. And we had a research subject go down in full cardiac arrest and we had people flying in, shoes were getting kicked off, fobs were flying. I mean, it looked like a little war zone in there once it got done, right? And it was not pretty. And when we all got done, the guy left. He was conscious and speaking.
Wow.
And we had to do the AED on him twice and defibrillate him. Wow. And he came back. Now, we all sat around just like drained for what we had just all gone through. Mm-hmm. And there was probably 8 or 10 of us.
Wow.
But we talked about it and we learned some things because somebody else saw it from a different vantage point. Mm-hmm. And we were lucky that's knock on wood not happened again.
Yeah.
But these are the things that you don't, I mean, let's face it, we really don't want to be in these situations. Mm-hmm. But when they do happen, you want to have the confidence to act, to help, mm-hmm. and you want to have the competence to do no harm.
Yeah.
Right. And that's something that I think is really important.
Absolutely. And I think kind of circling back to something else that you mentioned when we were speaking on the phone before we recorded this, you find that the PTs become the most medical pretty quickly. Right.
Right. Because let's face it. And I would imagine we all have lived those situations mm-hmm. where family members, neighbors, whatever are calling and you're it or you're at, you know, your kids or your niece or nephew's soccer game, for instance, right. and now you're the most medical. And if a decision has to be made, they're coming to you for that, because especially if it's a serious thing and they're waiting for the ambulance to arrive.
Right.
Right? And if you can just stabilize and settle things down and prevent it from going into a worse or a more significant situation, that's what's being a first responder is about. You're the first one there. How do you triage it? How do you deal with it and prevent it from going into a more involved situation?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing your expertise. I think before you go, I'm sure you have piqued some individuals' interest and also made some of us realize, oh no, I think we need to, you know, refresh what we know a little bit. So I'm wondering if you could share some resources that you have, you know, regarding emergency medical response.
Yeah, so as with anything, there's like layers of it. So there are some courses for emergency medical response courses for lay people run through the American Red Cross, the National Safety Council. And then there are ones that through the sports section, through the Academy of Sports Physical Therapy, because part of the MOS requirement with having SCS is to do the acute injury and illness requirement. And, you know, with that and over the years, many of us were actually teaching that part for SCS certification and recertification. And the base, the core, was the American Red Cross EMR course. Mm-hmm. But then what we did was we added nuances related to athletics and sports. So, and then we were approached from a performing arts SIG standpoint to see how can we do a similar thing, but related to performing arts SIG. And so we put together one, we did that for performing arts SIG many years ago. And then we've taught a couple different versions of it over the years for those that are interested in it. And I think it's important that, excuse me, and the performing arts SIG is very active with trying to facilitate that every couple of years so that people who have that certification can get recertified, or for those members that are actually very interested in becoming certified, we can create that kind of venue for that.
Yeah. And that's, I actually was a course that I went to now, as I mentioned, like 2 years ago, which I found incredibly helpful, right? Because, I mean, there was people like me who had never taken a course like that before. And then there were a couple individuals who were super seasoned. And we all were kind of with different types of folks. There was someone from ballet and someone from musical theater and then myself, concert dance. But we were able to kind of like throw examples back and forth with one another that were specific to genres and troubleshoot a couple things, which I found particularly helpful. So thank you, by the way.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I think that it really being in that environment with all the different expertise and I think what you almost really started to do was in your own genre, you were going through the what if game based on somebody
their
from skating or somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where you just need to build that muscle to be able to think about it in that standpoint, because you never know what you're going to truly be faced with in that, you know, as an emergency. It's an emergency,
right?
You know,
right.
You didn't get the script,
right? Exactly. Is there anything else that I missed that you feel like we need to touch on before we go?
I don't think so. Thank you. This was really fun to do.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate your expertise. Thank you again so much.
Thank you for listening to PASIG Practice Pearls, created by the Performing Arts Special Interest Group of the APTA Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapy.